Well, this is a time that we dedicate to questions that you may have. And once again, if you're not real sure how to get a question to me, I guess you could just tap me on the shoulder and pose it. Or you can write it down and put it in the offering plate, and we'll be sure to get to those questions. And hopefully making the Word of God, you know, applicable to your life, that's certainly our desire. If you turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians in chapter 12, a question was brought up this past week on, should I save my money? Should we have a savings account? Is that a biblical thing, or is that just something that we've kind of invented along the way? And so I thought it'd be good to answer that particular question. Does God want us to save our money? It is an interesting question because of the fact that we know that our trust cannot be in the money. We talked about that earlier today, and specifically dealing with that marvelous text in Proverbs chapter 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He's going to make your path straight. Then within that same text, He says, now, give of the Lord from your wealth. Make it first in your life. And so you realize that your trust can't be in those things of the finances. Nevertheless, Scripture does talk a lot about money. And it's an amazing thing. We actually have a class that Don teaches dealing with being good stewards of our money. And how does God view these things? Well, passage that I want you to look at in particular is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And if you look with me, Paul is actually talking with the Corinthians in regard to his concern for them and how he has come to minister to them in a way that really is selfless. And he perceives himself, not unlike as he writes to the Thessalonians in the first chapter, as a parent of sorts. And he makes this example, if you read with me, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. Here for the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be a burden to you, for I do not seek what is yours, but you. That's an interesting phrase, isn't it? I do not seek what is yours, but I seek you. And then he states this, for children are not responsible to save up for their parents, but parents for their children. That's quite a phrase. In other words, I feel responsible, and I have a responsibility to save up for you. It actually uses that particular phrase, doesn't it? Which we understand probably comes from Proverbs 19:14, in which it says, you know, it's a righteous person sets aside a house, and there's an inheritance set for his family. And you understand that there's a responsibility that one has for family members. In fact, Paul will talk specifically in dealing with that responsibility in Thessalonians, and he says you need to work hard with your hands, first of all, that you're not in any need of anything. So that's one of the first obligations. And you know, a lot of people want to give, and they're in need themselves. Make sure that you're not in need, first of all. And then Ephesians 4 will go on to say that you need to work hard so you may give to others that are in need. So God is calling for the believers not only to be responsible for themselves, but then also to help others as well. And that is quite an interesting obligation. But Paul will go even further in this in 1 Timothy. And you don't need to turn to this particular passage, but in 1 Timothy chapter 5, as he begins to talk about widows. And he talks about a widow that is put on the list of a church, but before that he begins to talk about those that are widows in your own family. And he actually makes this statement that it's the obligation of the children as well as, it's interesting, the grandchildren to take care of widows in their family. He'll go on to say, for those that don't take care of family members like this are worse than unbelievers. That's quite a statement. So there are obligations specifically to take care of family members, to take care. Unfortunately, what we have done with this whole thing of retirement is our generation has made savings about retirement and about toys and about having things that we never had when we were younger. And really, that doesn't seem to be the point of saving. The point of saving seems to be that you can help others. The point of saving seems to be that you can minister to your family. They can make sure that people are not in need, but it is not a day for you to go out just partying. Can you have a good time? Yeah, Scripture says that God has created all these things for us to enjoy freely, and God wants you to enjoy them. But your main responsibility of savings has little to do with you just going out and partying the rest of your retirement life. It has everything to do with being responsible. You don't stop responsibility at retirement. You continue to be responsible. And then, of course, there are times in which the parents then need aid, is like a widow within the household. And that is the response. It becomes the responsibility of the whole family. And the family takes in this one that's a widow within the household and loves them and shows them that they are not a discard. They are not a throwaway like society would cause us to believe. And in fact, Paul makes mention of this specifically in 1 Timothy 5, that you need to give back to these that have done so much for you in your life. So we understand that there is such a thing as savings. In fact, 1 Timothy 3:4 says that an elder that's going to be in church has to be a manager of his own household. He needs to manage that household well. I'm sure that has not only to do with the spiritual realm, but also the financial realm, which actually becomes a spiritual thing. That God has made us stewards of everything that we have, and we realize that it is a stewardship, and it is for the benefit of the kingdom. Ultimately, let me just say this, there may even be a time which God will call a family member to forsake all and follow. The young rich man comes to Jesus and he says, you know, what must I do? And Jesus says, you know what you need to do? Because money is such an important thing in your life, you need to sell everything, give to the poor, and come follow me. And there may be a time, I've seen the Lord call people, not everybody, but call certain individuals and say, you need to sell everything and follow me. And they were willing to do that. What a wonderful blessing. God took care of their needs. If God calls you to do that, that's not being a bad steward. That's the leading of God, and God will take care of your family. God will take care of your household, and God will bring great blessing upon that household because they sacrifice. But unfortunately, once again, let me just reemphasize this. We've become a generation that is very selfish. Not unlike in Mark chapter 7, where the Pharisees had pronounced a Corban over all their possessions, and the word that is used there means gift to God. And so they would gather all their things. I guess they didn't have a ceremony. And they would gather all their stuff together and they would pronounce Corban over. Well, this is a gift of God. This is God's gift. I'm dedicating this to God. But then they would keep it. They would be able to use it. They could still drive the Ferrari. They could still have the benefits of the lake house front. But they didn't have to give it to their family. They didn't have to help their parents. Because they, when their parents would ask them, well, we're a little shy here. We need some help. A widow within the household, I need some help. They say, well, you know, we would give it to you, but we dedicated it all to God. Sorry. And so it shows once again the selfishness. We see a lot of this being stirred in today. Gee, we would like to help mom, but we got our own things that we have to worry, and we're doing the Lord's work. And God says, you're transgressing the law of God. Honor your mother and father. So it's an interesting text, if you read it in Mark chapter 7 as well as in Matthew, to remind us that we have obligations to save. But why are you saving? That's the $64,000 question. Well, Father, we're going to give you thanks for your word that directs us into the path of righteousness, and we ask your forgiveness of the many times in which we have been bad stewards and many times in which we have saved for our own selfish desires. Lord, we understand that the things that you've given us, you want us to enjoy, but more than that, we understand that by giving and by helping and by ministering, that is great enjoyment. Lord, may we enjoy the benefits of following you. We pray this in your name. Amen.